This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bardos, Bardos. All righty, what's happening? Third hour, Tiki and Tierney. We are live inside of our Quicken Loans studio. Third hour, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here on this terrific Wednesday across the country. 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific every day. At Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. 855-212-4227. D-Cell and Sam through the crew as well. They're on social media if you want to give them, if you want to bother them, by all means, go and bother them. I just saw something really interesting. And it takes a little while to figure this out. All right? And then we get back to Hugh Jackson. Mm-hmm. On CBSSports.com, just out of sheer intrigue, I had to click on it because it made no sense. Clemson, I want you to listen. You're a smart guy. I bet you can't get this, though.
I got it.
Unless you already read it.
I already read it.
Ah, you suck. Right, let me set it up for everybody else. Clemson student, this is the headline, could start at quarterback for Furman and face the Tigers in the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that intriguing enough to click on that to see what the heck is going on?
Yeah, why do you think I wouldn't know that one? You know why?
Well, I didn't know if you were on CBSSports.com in the last hour.
Of course I was. You know why? Because it's a nerd story.
Yeah, well, if you saw it, I knew you'd click on it.
Yeah, of course.
I just didn't know that you saw it.
Well, I liked the story, and I read deeper into it because of the content of the story. So I forget the kid's name.
His name is Harris Roberts.
Harris Roberts is a student at Furman, and he's studying pre-engineering at Furman, but he wants a more advanced degree. Mm-hmm. And so there's
a partnership.
A partnership, a collaborative study program between Furman and Clemson.
Yep.
And so he is taking a second undergrad in mechanical engineering at Clemson. So he's basically got two undergrads going on at the same time.
Isn't that amazing?
It's unbelievable.
That's great.
I mean, think how smart this kid's got to be.
Smart.
Oh, and by the way, he's on the football team.
And he's starting.
And he has a chance to start this.
And he's going to lose by 50 points.
Yeah, of course. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
He's more like a part-time Clemson student.
Yeah.
The headline captures you.
Sure.
But he's more of a part-time. I think it's an awesome story.
It's a great story.
That's one to tell. That's a cool one to dig into a little bit.
Furman QB Harris Roberts enrolled in a co-op educational partnership between Furman and Clemson that's allowed him to continue playing for the Paladins while pursuing an engineering degree at Clemson.
Did you know that one?
I didn't. That's one of the few I did not know.
You know almost all
of
them.
I know most of them. I didn't know that one. Furman, a private liberal arts college in Greenville, South Carolina, doesn't offer the engineering degree, so after earning a bachelor's in pre-engineering, he started traveling 30 miles to Clemson for class in pursuit of a second bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering. One of those little nuanced stories that is really good.
That's a cool one.
That's a very good one. All right, let's get back to Hugh Jackson. First, let me play this for you because this needs to set up my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, you can actually play these both. Let me set it up first, though. The first is on the practice field, okay, where he rips into his team for a lack of effort. The second one, which we'll play consecutively here, but you'll catch a little pause, I would imagine. The second one is in the film session when he continues to rip into a lack of effort. So here's Hugh Jackson. Listen to this, and I got something for you.
When the f*** did we start walking around out here? Huh? When did we start, our level all of a sudden becomes like this? When did that start, Kirko? When? Never. I'm not watching that shit anymore. Coaches, you better get after these guys and get to where they're supposed to be and let them practice the way we practice. This is what you're putting on tape. It ain't good enough. And you guys that's been here with me know damn well we ain't practiced like this, true? You got to know when you look at that shit that that ain't the way we practice. See, that's a bunch of bullshit. That's not a team that looks like they're hungry and urgent in everything that they do, like a team that's just kind of going through the motions. I don't want a team like that. This is real football now. You cannot practice like this and be good. I want more. I expect more out of this room, especially out of you veteran guys. It's a f***ing grind, and sometimes you don't want to do it. You got to learn to do it when you don't want to do it. That's what pro football is. It hurts. You got to compete against each other. You got to bust your ass. You got to be in the right spot. And you got to play the f***ing game the way it's meant to be played. Or you're wasting your time. Talent don't mean shit. I don't care how much talent we got. Unmotivated talent don't do shit.
Okay. A lot of the things there, and I'm listening to that, you know, now without the visual, and I'm saying, all right, when I was, you know, 19, 20, if I'm sitting in a room and my coach is lighting to my team like that, that would work for me.
I like the content of what he's saying.
Yeah, I was programmed that way. That was good motivation for me. It never bothered me. The only problem, and I'm sensing this, it's only two episodes, and you don't want to attribute too much to Hard Knocks, obviously, in terms of, you know, deducing hardcore opinions, although he is 1-31, that's a fact, not an opinion. It's beginning to feel overly contrived for me. Like, he's hamming up the cameras, and there was one, it was a little subtle thing when the first part on the practice field, in the meeting room, when he said, we don't practice that way. You guys that have been here, he's trying to tell us that despite the record, the practice habits have been really good. He's looking for some internal validation.
That's exactly right.
Seems contrived.
Yeah, it feels like he's reconstructing his narrative by screaming and yelling the way that he's screaming and yelling.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's one of those things, and I talked about this. What was it yesterday? Whenever we were talking about yelling at kids, right? At some point, it's like they don't know what you're talking about. they hear you yelling, and they know that you're intense about something. They're not really sure what the hell you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in the NFL, because most of them are men, right? They have an understanding of what it takes to be successful. Otherwise, they wouldn't be there.
Sure.
And so if you yell all the time, and maybe it's just the way again. This is TV. We don't know if he had a calm moment in between. But if you're yelling all the time, people truly stop listening.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't. They don't. They tune you out. They don't care. And so it's being presented as if that's what he does all the time. Yell, scream, yell, gets emotional, cusses. And at some point, the discerning mind says, click, turn, tune it out.
Yeah.
Right?
Especially since Haley's hitting them with the same style.
Agreed. So come to me with rationality, or I can't. It's just too much, right? And that's what I feel. Maybe it's because I'm old now. You know what I mean? I've been out of the game for 11 years, crazy as that sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was playing, the yelling and screaming wasn't what motivated me. So maybe I just process this differently. But when I hear it presented like that in a one-off, I think it's awesome.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. That's why
amazing.
I said what I said before about...
Yep. Man, that got me
Let's
motivated.
Let's go. Let's go.
I'm ready to go.
My bad.
But if I'm hearing it all the time,
yep.
It's like, all right, whatever. All right, you've actually drained my energy because what you're actually doing is projecting upon me. You're projecting your emotion onto me, hoping that I lift with you. And it actually is draining to be projected on like that.
I hear
you. Know what I mean?
So, yeah, no,
I'm being a psychologist or anything, but
I think
having been in that seat before, it gets counterproductive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't actually move the needle with guys, right? If you want to get really like dead ass serious, then that moves the needle. I told you this story about Wellington Mara. He never spoke to us, right? When he came in and he spoke one day after what season? This is 2003 season. We knew changes were coming. We knew Coach Fossil was out. He just very calmly, right?
Oh,
to your left.
Yeah.
Look to your right.
Yeah.
Two of you guys ain't going to be here.
Yeah.
It was just like, uh-oh.
You just happened to be sitting next to Toomer and Strahan, so all you
guys
were safe.
Exactly. So we were good, but still.
Point taken. This room's going to be a lot of turnover coming.
You're right. And the seriousness of this of how you say certain things have a deeper impact than screaming and yelling and throwing cuss words all the time.
Agreed. And here's the other thing, too. If you're reaching on the level of desperation, that emotional meter, right, if you're already cranking it up, in week two, as training camp is winding down, what are you reaching for in week three of the season when you're 0-3?
Yeah.
What are you reaching for when you're 1-7 and you're trying to finish the season, you know, well enough to justify, from Hugh's point of view, being retained as head coach?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're throwing out the heavy artillery now, I mean, it could get off the tracks fast, which is why I hate to keep saying this. But, and by the way, it's pretty easy when you're 1-31. It's not like it's a real leap forward. I just don't have a good feeling about this for Hugh Jackson. I don't like what I see being projected. I'm not sure that he should have even been given a chance to come back and coach his team, to be fair. I don't love the dynamic with Todd Haley. I don't like the lack of energy and urgency for a team that won one game in 2 years. How the hell are you not sprinting to drills?
Yeah.
You need your coach to air you out like this on national TV? Run!
Yeah. Well,
hit!
We don't get it because they're making the Hard Knocks more about the coaching and the dynamic between Hugh and some of his other coaches. We saw that in the first episode with the big, heavy-set offensive line coach who was, you know... and it was more of a motion. It was an emotional moment because of Hugh losing his mother and his brother, and the dynamic between Todd Haley and Coach Jackson. But I want to see the leaders of the team, right? Not Jarvis Landry, who's only been there for his cup of coffee.
And by the way, has won nothing in his career.
Agreed.
It's
right?
Not like he's coming over from the Pats with three championships.
Yeah, you're right.
I appreciate his effort, though.
When that sentiment starts to truly make its way into the guys themselves.
Uh-huh.
So it's not Hugh that's having to yell at them.
Exactly.
That's when you see progress.
Yep.
But if that's not happening, then this team doesn't have a chance.
You got to self-police. You've got to be internally motivated. You know, whether it's doing a radio show, like if we came in here every day, like Spitz is a former, we keep reference Spitz, our former boss. Like if Spitz would be like, all right, and it's, this is not Spitz's personality. This is more my personality. But if Spitz was like, "All right, guys, come on, we got to have a good show. Come on, we got to be into it. It's a big day. We got a big game. We got this. We got that. If he's trying to, as you said before, you know, transfer his energy to us so that we can project that on the air, then you got the wrong guys in the wrong seats.
Agreed.
I mean, if you're not internally and intensely motivated for the moment that you walk in those two doors that are about 30 feet where I'm pointing my finger, if you watch this on TV, then you're in the wrong business.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk on a football field and you got to have a head coach or an assistant kick you in the ass to finish up a drill with integrity, then you're not going to win.
Agreed.
And you're not going to be around long.
You're
and
right.
Ask Corey Coleman that.
You're right.
You ain't there.
Yeah.
Oh, so
you got to do it in practice before you do it in the game. But again, we like this roster. There's so much potential on this roster. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to see Josh Gordon get back at some point. I mean, it's becoming really baffling. At 2 weeks in now, and I mean, 2+ weeks in now in the training camp.
Yeah.
We haven't heard anything.
Not a nugget. Amazing that nobody, Lock and Four, Schefter, I mean, Rappaport, Mary Kay Cabot in Cleveland, who's great and great to us, nobody has an inkling as to what the heck is going on.
No idea.
Nobody.
That's not a good sign at all.
But they always say no news is good news. So maybe that actually is a good thing. Don't you think if there was some sort of treatment, and I knock on wood for Josh, I hope he's all right. If there was some sort of treatment, something admitted or some medical record, don't you think we would have had somebody who's gotten that by
now? We also know that.
Or an arrest or whatever, a failed drug test.
More than any two connections in football, wide receiver and quarterback may be the most important one. Next to offensive line, like we talked to Justin Pugh earlier from the Arizona Cardinals, they got four new offensive linemen. So, like, the nonverbal cues, they're not going to get that for a little bit, right? That's important. But being on the same page with your quarterback is paramount for explosive success in the National Football League. I don't think he's thrown any rocks with Tyrod Taylor. I know he hasn't thrown any with Baker Mayfield. He's missing out on some important moments right now.
Yep.
In the early stages of this young Cleveland team, he's got to be there, and I don't know why he's not.
I want to see him.
It's frustrating.
And by the way, as a quick aside, can't you see Todd Haley getting really annoying after a while? I mean, I don't doubt his acumen and his passion.
Oh yeah, he's needling you.
But if you're Big Ben, and we heard early on there were some riffs with them, although they smoothed it out at the end, I could see that becoming old real fast because Todd Haley gets on you. I mean, he gets in your jock. He gets in there fast.
You're
gets in there loud.
You're right.
Man, oh, man. That's football, big boy business. So if you're not bringing it, you ain't going to be around long. Steve Souza, who is with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And I'll tell you, the NL West is just incredible. Diamondbacks, a game up on the Rockies. They're two up on the Dodgers. Dodgers bullpen blew another one last night. It's absolutely amazing what's happening in that division. But Steve Souza is our buddy from... I guess that's 2 years ago now when he first came on the show with the Rays.
Yep.
And so, Mike, what did he? He just tweeted at us yesterday out of nowhere and said, "What's going on, boys? Been a while."
Yesterday was an interesting day. First, Steven Souza Jr., and then our boy Spud Webb.
Spud.
Yesterday was an interesting day. And Steven has such an interesting story. Almost left baseball because of drinking and partying.
Oh, yeah.
The guy's a beast.
He just reached out and said, "You want to talk shop? Get on the show."
He just tweeted us, so I have his number. I sent him a text. He's like,
booked himself.
So he booked himself. So once again, you had no involvement in the booking is basically what I'm getting at here.
I mean, I sent the text, so that was like 4% of it.
I got you. Steve Souza of the Red Hot Diamondbacks. He will join us. And by the way, he missed a lot of time. He's starting to get healthy. He will help them down the stretch. He's a good player. Going to talk to us next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Summer is here, and so is the unbearably hot weather. Think about how much time we spend in the sun over the summer. We also spend a lot of time in our cars during the summer months. You know how that heat can just drain the life out of you? Well, imagine what it's doing to your car. Summer heat can be draining on your vehicle's battery, even more so than in the harsh winter months. Heat, more than cold, can shorten your battery's life. Rising temperatures can cause battery fluids to evaporate, leading to corrosion on cable clamps and terminals. You always want your car at its peak performance. So stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts now and have your battery tested free of charge. That's right, it's free. And if it needs replacing, the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts will help you find the exact superstar battery that fits your car or truck at a guaranteed low price. To find a store near you, visit O'ReillyAuto.com. That's O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
All right, it's CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. You will get a little daily dose of baseball every day the rest of the way here because that is how crazy things are. The pace the Red Sox are playing, the A's chasing the Astros, and of course, amongst many other stories that are buried in what's been a great baseball season.
You're right.
And the NL West is just incredibly competitive. The D-backs lead the way. It's tight. The Dodgers are there. The Rockies are right there. Even the Giants are only five games out. And with their pedigree, all those championships, you can't rule them out. So we're joined by Steven Souza, a good friend of the show. Haven't had him on for a little bit, but a good friend of the show. Remember, he was with the Rays for a couple of years, 30 bombs with the Rays last year. And well-chronicled, battled some demons, really found himself, got his life on track. And this is just a stand-up guy and a good player who's healthy again and could help the Diamondbacks a lot down the stretch. And he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steven? How you been, buddy? What's going on?
Guys, it's great to hear from you. Always excited to be on the show.
Yeah, we thought we lost you out there with a cactus out in Arizona, man.
Right? You move west out of the...
You know, when you go to a new time zone, I'll tell you what, it's like feeling like you're going to a different country.
I went through that. I did live in Northern California for 2 years, so I know what you mean. Everything gets flipped. Everything good, though? You're obviously healthy now. You've adjusted to life in Arizona with the D-backs. You're feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I feel great, man. It was a scary injury in spring training. I had the football injury. I tore my pec, and so
yeah. How did you do that?
I did a diving. I landed, tore my pec, and nobody really knew what was going on. But I tried to come back in May, and it didn't go quite so well. It's tough to battle when a pec's not fully healed. But man, I'm so thankful to be healed. We're playing good. We're in first place. I can't ask for much more than that.
Wait, so like diving into a pool or diving to go get into a base?
No, spring training. So in spring training, I dove for a ball.
Oh,
and I took off pretty high.
Oh, I got
and
you.
When I landed, I was so outstretched.
I see. I got you. So your arm was out.
Exactly. My pec. The doctors actually said first time they've seen it in baseball. So I'm an anomaly right now. So I'm holding on to it.
Yeah, no, you are. But you're healthy now, and you're back. And you look at this race out in the West. It's every week, and we're just talking about the one side. It's also in the other division as well. I mean, it's tight out there in the West for you guys. What's your advantage right now, other than being atop and leading with a few weeks left to go? But what's the advantage right now for the Diamondbacks over these other teams that we keep talking about, the Dodgers and the Giants?
Man, well, we definitely play really good defense. I mean, I think we're the number one defensive team in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to give you 27 outs to beat us. And if you can't beat us with 27 outs, then you're not going to beat us. Our pitching has been our first two, Patrick Corbin and Zach Greinke, have been unbelievable all year long. And then, the back of our Clay Buchholz has been an awesome story coming back from some arm issues and just solidified our rotation. And with Godley and Ray, we got a deep rotation. We got a really athletic team. Our offense at the beginning of the year was a little shaky, but we're starting to get a little more consistency since the second half. I think we've got 6 runs a game. So we just kind of have everything to bring to the table. Now sometimes it's not always been every aspect has been locked in, but you know, I think that if we can get together and kind of, you know, everybody do their part and get kind of locked in, man, we can roll through some teams, and we're a pretty good team on paper.
I agree. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned how the offense was a little shaky out of the chute here. Goldschmidt, who's one of the 5-6 best players in baseball, he's an absolute masher and a great first baseman. He runs pretty well, too, for a big guy. He hit about a .180 or so in May. And I'm always curious when playing in the American League versus the NL, obviously those couple of years, although you were with the Nationals for a year too, but so you saw him a little bit. Yeah. But when you get up close to a great player, now that he's gotten his groove back, is he even better than you thought, you know, from the opposite coast, now seeing him every day do his thing?
Yeah, he's super underrated. Man, this guy, I mean, when you're talking about, you know how good you are, he never talks about how good he is. He just knows it, you know? He just knows how good he is. And when he was hitting a .180, you know, everybody's like, oh, what's going on? The media's like, oh, Paul Goldschmidt, he's getting old. You know, they're trying to figure out reasons of what's going on. And he just stayed the course. He just knew it's going to turn around. And he went berserk in June and hit like 400 with like 14 homers. But that's the more impressive thing, is the way, you know, everybody, you know, the talent, you've kind of been around everybody and you're like, you know, that I knew that guy was good and I knew he was good. But the way you walk through the difficult situations, that's to me what separates Goldschmidt from everybody else. He's just steady Eddie, you know. I mean, nothing seems to get to him. There's some frustration and competitiveness, but super impressed just the way he carries himself and handles the game situation. And on top of that, an amazing leader.
Nice. See, that we don't really get all the way out here. And it's tough to it's hard to really show. Like football, there's an aggression. Like I think of Ray Lewis coming out of the tunnel. You can lead in different ways. A quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. How does a baseball player really lead, though? Like, how is that detectable? You say he's a great leadership or a great leader. What are those qualities, Stephen?
Yeah, that's a great question, because it is so different than football, and it's so different than basketball. There's so many games that you're with each other every single day, and there's a lot of downtime. So there's times where, like, you know, there's some inconsistencies and maybe some guys' personalities, and it's only because, man, you're going to see it's like you're almost married to these guys. You know, 162 games, you're going to see every part of it. And when you're just consistent in who you are and what you believe in, and you come to the park and you're studying, and then, you know, when things go bad, you're not, you know, taking it out on the other team, or excuse me, on teammates, or, you know, you're isolating yourself because you're so worried about, you know, what's going on with your own statistics. He separates that stuff, and he puts the team before himself. And when he was going bad, he went about the course and talked with guys, helped guys that were even struggling themselves, and just being there for them. That's the stuff that it's in baseball that you don't get a whole lot. You don't get those guys that put their own selfish ambition aside and say, how can I help this team right now? Because on a football team, you know, when you're leading, it's like, right now, we got to go. I got to get us together. I can talk us up, but it doesn't work like that in baseball. It's kind of this slow progression of just, man, I see no matter what situation this guy's going through, he's doing the same thing, and that's how we get to the end of the year.
Gotcha. So this is going to be a fun division. Steven Souza, it is fun. It's going to be really fun the rest of the way. Steven Souza, Jr., of course, Arizona Diamondbacks outfielder, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney.
Steven, let me take you back.
I got a question for you guys real quick.
Go ahead. Bring it, man. What you got?
Who is your guys' sleeper this year in the NFL? Rookie sleeper. Who's your guys' one standout?
Well, hold on. Can I take the reins on this for one second?
Wait, are you having your fantasy draft coming up soon?
I am.
Well, I got to tell you, now that we're talking, I didn't want to say that. We'll give you an answer in a second. I didn't want to say this, all right? But I drafted you in my fantasy baseball draft, and I held on to you. And I took you in the 13th round, coming off those 30 dingers in Tampa. And I'm saying he's got Goldschmidt around him. He's got, you know, some Pollock when he was healthy and some good sticks and a good ballpark. And I had to cut you loose, man. And Steve, if I didn't like you as much as I do, like, I really tried to keep you, but I was getting lapped. I'm like, he's not healthy. So I always tell you, and I'm only being up front because I really like you, I had to cut you.
I appreciate that. No, I would have cut myself, believe me.
But you got picked up by somebody else in my league, though, to be fair.
All right, let me give you two.
All right. And because I want to say one of these running backs, but running backs are by committee these days, Steve, so it's hard to – it's hard to say, oh, that guy's going to get 15 touchdowns or 1,200 yards.
I know it.
It's just hard with running backs. I'm gonna give you two wide receivers, and you probably saw them in week one of the preseason. They were great. Antonio Callaway in Cleveland, and then Michael Gallup in Dallas, because they don't have a big scoring threat right now with Dez gone. I think Dak seems to like him early, so Gallup might be the guy down in Dallas.
Oh, look at that.
Right. Now, Callaway's in Cleveland, is that right?
He is in Cleveland.
Yep.
And Jarvis is going to be in the slot. Is he going to be on the outside then?
This guy asking serious football questions.
You know what the beauty of their setup is, and it's why we liked them until we started watching them on Hard Knocks, Stephen, is there's versatility. Right? They can be everywhere. I think they're going to get a combination of both those guys being interchangeable. That is, if Callaway can learn it, because it's a lot of intel to be able to play in the slot. It's not just go run it. You got to do all the adjustments based on what defense you get. So he might not do it early. So he'll be outside early. Jarvis will be in the slot, and I think early in the season.
Wow, who are we talking to?
I'm telling you, dude, he wants to win. Do you know how serious these things get in locker rooms? We used to have a fantasy baseball one, Steve, when I was playing.
You did with the Giants,
yeah, and I was terrible because I didn't want to watch every game every week because you have to change your lineup.
Yeah.
You're only playing three times versus
every
five
day.
Times.
Yeah.
So
I know
what you're talking about.
I'll tell you what I played receiver in high school. Was going to go play college. Huh? And so when I watch like receivers like that, it's always interesting to me, you know, to see guys go back and forth or try and learn the spot. Like
it's hard.
Julio to me is one of the most impressive receivers because he goes back and forth all the time. And you know, I feel like throughout his career, he's really learned the new routes, and that's what makes him such one of the most dynamic receivers in the game.
I think you could have been an Adam Thielen type, right? What are you, about 6'4", Steven?
Man, that guy's so underrated, though, huh?
Well, so are you.
What are you? You're what? You're 6'2", 6'4"?
No, he's about 6'4", right?
6'4", yeah.
No, dude, you'd be a tight end. There's no way.
Eric Decker's about 60. I could see him being a Decker
you're
type.
You're 6'4". You weigh what, 230?
225, yeah. 230.
All right, 225. And maybe you'd
probably
be a wide
receiver.
How tall is Kelvin Benjamin?
Kelvin Benjamin.
I believe he's 6'5".
6'5". But he's like.
Yeah, I saw him standing next to Cam the other day. I'm like, yeah, this guy's 6'5" receiver. This guy looks like a giant.
Yeah, but he's sloppy.
He's not in shape, man.
Sloppy though.
If you ever look like that, the Diamondbacks are going to cut you. Let's call it for what it is. Steven Souza's with you. I got a serious baseball. I got a question for you now. You ready?
Emerging tight end.
I got you.
Yeah, exactly. If the Cardinals need David Johnson, rolling out Bradford to. Fakes it to Davis. You got Suze on a little wheel route. I don't know. All right, listen. And I want an honest answer. I don't want, I don't want to see my name in an article because Steven Souza said this. I want the real honest answer. Are you ready for the question?
I got you.
It's the toughest question you've been asked in a long time. Okay. Who's got the better stuff? What's the more uncomfortable at bat for you? Same division. Kershaw or a healthy mad bum?
Ooh, that's tough. So I haven't faced Kershaw ever.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't, and this is the first time I faced Mad Bum. And from the at-bat that I had off Mad Bum, he was about 90 to 92.
Yep.
And his cutter is just hard to see. So when he was 94, 95, it's got to be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Wait, what was the result of this at-bat, Steven?
Well, I hit two. I hit a rocket into the sixth hole, and Longo robbed me of a base hit with a full out extension diving play.
Okay, but that's still an out. We don't need the theatrics.
But,
you're out.
But solid contact, right?
You're out. What else did you do?
Contact.
Yeah, for us that didn't see it in the book, out, it just hit out.
I lined out again to third.
So you went 0-2, hitless.
I was 0-2.
But you put bat on ball, right?
But you stung him.
I did.
Doesn't that suck?
Is how I measure the guys, like, you know, when I faced Sale last year, man, I was like 1-for-19 with like 15 Ks, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
It was just really tough to put the bat on the ball because it's so funky. And,
yeah.
You know, he's throwing 97.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a big-time slider. I really hope he wins the Cy Young this year, but
Steve, is that?
I think he's going to.
Yeah, is that more mental than anything? Like you go, like you just said, you go 1-for-19. You struck out like more than half. Has it become mental? Do you like start psyching yourself out?
You start like inventing stuff up there. You're like, all right, well, you know, I've tried everything. So what do I do now? you know, I started off okay. Like I think the first first three ABs, I was 1-for-3 with a line drive to left.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just started mixing everything up. And you kind of get halfway through, and it always felt like he was one step ahead of me. You know, I'm going up an AB and sitting on the heater, and it would be nothing but sliders,
mm-hmm.
you know. Or he'd throw the heater in the exact spot where I couldn't hit. And then, you know, I'm like, all right, I'm going to make an adjustment. I'm going to sit on the breaking ball here. And it would feel like he just attacked me with heaters in. So he's a smart pitcher. He's so aggressive. And yeah, it can get real mental real fast.
And people wouldn't, you know, there's so many of these kids, and not just the pitchers we're talking about, but so many pitchers throw 96, mm-hmm. 97. But if you've got the stuff and you've got the mind and it's in sync,
right.
that seems like a long, long night at that level. Steven, we can do this all day, man, but we gotta get an update. We got to get a break. We got to come back, do another segment. We got to get to the blast. We will get you back on. We are obviously following, getting the late highlights on SportsCenter, obviously following you guys late night. Fun division.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see you back healthy and good to have you back on the show.
Yeah, man. Hit us up when you come east.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on, and always a pleasure. I really appreciate you guys.
Be good, Steven.
And DM us your fantasy team. We want to critique it on the air. We want to see how you did, okay? DM our producer your fantasy team. All right?
Sounds good.
Cool, man. Thanks, Steven.
All right, guys.
You got it, pal. There you go. Good guy. And that's got to be really tough. I mean, going through an injury is bad enough, but going to a new team, though.
I know, yeah.
At least if he was still with Tampa, he knows I hit 30 home runs. They know I can play. You go to a new team, you want to get out there and get, you know, 3, 4, 5 hits, you know, hit your first home run, have your first game-winning hit, kind of breathe a little bit. That had to be really tough for him. So good to see him back healthy. All right, we got the blast coming up. Here's the update. Jay Berman coming at you. Jay. All right, still a lot to do. Good stuff. Steven Sue's a good friend of the show. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day here, Teague, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. And this one comes in from Paul Tomlinson at Paul E. Du. Is Jalen Ramsey going to be a target across the NFL by quarterbacks for running his mouth about them? Hashtag Ask the Pros.
Short answer, no, because he's too good.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that he's trying to entice him.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, let's try to make him look bad. And then he's looking at his chops, waiting to bring one back 75 right. yards the other way to the house.
Don't go with A.J. Boye. Go with me.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, and we talked about this. Boye, all the metrics had a better defensive season than Jalen Ramsey
right.
last year.
Right.
He was like top 6 and top 7
right.
in everything.
Top 10 in all the categories. Mm-hmm. But the mitigating factor would be he usually was on the second
yes.
wide receiver, whereas Jalen Ramsey is always on the number one wide receiver.
That is
even
true.
Though they don't necessarily travel. But you're right.
A little perspective. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Remember Mark Stein with ESPN for a long time
yeah.
and covered the NBA. Good, diligent NBA beat man and newsbreaker and
yeah, it's on the it's
information
the
gatherer. Yeah, it's with the Times. He just put out something pretty interesting here. Now I guess Ben Simmons threw out a pitch the other night for Philly,
mm-hmm.
and he threw it out with his right hand. Now, as we know, when Simmons, who's listed as a left-handed shooter, by the way, when he goes free throw. You know, it spins off his left hand.
Mm-hmm.
But now Stein is, and I guess he just wrote this earlier. I see a link to it. I haven't, you know, fully gone into it here. But it looks as if he's really seriously considering switching over to his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you might want to start because the season's almost here. I mean, don't you think that you want to get around to that kind of, you know, but something I caught there. All right. Hey, they're chasing FedEx Cup points at their last shot to make the... You're an idiot, Sam, there. To make the playoffs, it's the Wyndham Championship. Who's playing in that this weekend? Last chance to accrue some points this weekend on CBS. And my plea to Sean McManus and Dave Burson has not come to fruition yet. To throw me in a bush or a tree, just drop me in a tree somewhere. You know, a cordless microphone, little handheld cam by some intern.
Well, you saw that.
Let me just do, you know, a little.
You saw after last weekend because Phil missed the cup. He missed the cut last mm-hmm. weekend. He can't qualify on points.
Qualify for what?
The Ryder Cup.
No, I know.
It's just crazy.
Phil's had a weird season. Phil started off pretty well.
Oh, it was hot.
He won in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Remember? Didn't he jar? No, he didn't jar one. The other Justin Thomas jarred
mm-hmm.
one. Right. But Phil won the WGC in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, okay. And somebody was saying, you know, and I thought this, but I don't study Phil's body enough to really know. A lot of people saying that Phil's gained a little weight back and he's a little,
you can see a little bit
out of shape.
Yeah, you can see it a little bit. Because that's how he looks, actually, like he started his career. You know, he got in great shape.
Well, when he started, he was a pipe cleaner. When he came out of Arizona State, he was in the movie.
When I first started watching him,
and
he was a little bit bigger. And then, obviously, the Tiger effect took hold, and everybody started getting in shape. And then he got really good, you know, svelte.
Mm-hmm. Get rid of the moobs.
Mm-hmm. they're coming back a little bit.
Yeah. All right, you ready to blast away?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. All right, Teague, first up, Big Ben, concussion protocol after falling on his head. Should the Steelers be concerned?
No, they shouldn't be. It's just that he's going to miss a couple of days of practice, but it's okay. He's veteran enough. It's not something to be overly concerned about. Yep. The only thing you'd worry about is if he played this, if he had to play, and he doesn't have to play this week.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine.
Yeah. I listen, Big Ben's going to want to worry about this because these things, they add up, and there's the residual damage, head trauma. We know that. Not to sound callous, but if I'm the Steelers, I'm not overly worried. I think Tiki is right. By the way, it happened. He didn't get tackled.
No.
People say, how could he get a concussion when you're a quarterback? He got a red jersey. He ran into one of his line mates, and he fell backwards and hit his head. So we hope Big Ben is okay. I think he's going to be fine. But long term, you just hope these things don't add up.
Mm-hmm.
It's the reality of football. Right. John Elway says the Broncos may add a veteran backup.
Mm-hmm.
Should they? And if so, who? Well, they gave Case not a ton of money, all right? You know who I'd call?
Who?
I'd be calling the Jets right now, see what's going on with Teddy Bridgewater.
Teddy. Yeah, you're right.
I'd absolutely call the Jets and see about Teddy Bridgewater.
I was reading some articles about Chad Kelly, who is the 7th-round quarterback, Ole Miss, obviously, Jim Kelly's nephew?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes.
Said he's going to be the first Mr. Irrelevant to start an NFL game. Last pick in the NFL draft. Because he's now the backup with the demotion or his ascension over Paxton Lynch. He's going to get a chance, maybe.
There's never been a – I thought the Giants had a Mr. Irrelevant.
At quarterback.
I was going to say. Who died of cancer.
Yeah.
Who's a special teamer. I forget his name. I believe he may have played at Harvard, too. He's pretty good. White guy, 80-something.
I'm forgetting his name now, but you're right.
But quarterback. I was going to say, a lot of Mr. Irrelevance have made it.
Yeah, of course.
All right.
Just not a quarterback.
Gotcha. Some believe Ben Simmons. We touched on this before. We can get a little deeper here. We'll switch to shooting righty. Is this a major red flag, or is this a good move?
This is a red flag, man.
No. Not even mildly alarmed. You know, he's going to shoot with his other hand? No, nothing to see here. Good luck, buddy.
I'm so bad shooting lefty, I have to shoot now righty. That is not a good thing. I'm sorry. It's not like you playing golf where it's on, you know, the course.
Which I've done lefty and righty.
I know.
John Tuggle, by the way, 1983. Yeah, right. Thank you very much, Mike. Good job there. You know what? Yeah, of course it's a red flag, but listen. He's got to rectify this, at least become functional, and at least become a willing shooter. Because the longer he keeps passing, and he's great.
Yeah, but how can you learn to shoot?
You're going to go through some public embarrassment, and you have to be prepared to deal with it, and you have to keep. And he seems to have the temperament to be able to get through that.
Oh, I do.
He's a tough-minded kid.
I agree, but still.
I hear you. You got to shoot in the NBA these days. It's not like the old days. Guards got to shoot. Everybody's got to shoot. C.J. McCollum blasts, quote, disgusting. He started to annoy me, McCollum, a little bit here. Calls KD disgusting and Boogie for joining the team. Says, quote, the super team, I would never do that. I'm built differently. End quote. All right, that he's never going to win a championship. is McCollum building his brand the right way? I mean, I say that kind of kidding. He's actually a really smart kid. Went to Lehigh. We've had him on the show, and he is a really good player. But I guess maybe he's just being true to himself, and this is who he is. I don't love it. But whatever, do what you got to do.
He's getting promotions on his podcast. That's what it's all about. He's getting viewership, listenership.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he's saying all these crazy things.
I don't know what the brand is. What, like a loose cannon type? What is the brand exactly?
Yeah.
He's outspoken, I guess.
But he's in Portland. If you're going to promote yourself in Portland, you kind of got to do some things like this, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, do what you got to do. Get clicks. All right. Theo Epstein, a little baseball for you, says, Yu Darvish, quote, on a mission to come back for the Cubs. Did A-Rod's comments motivate you?
No, I don't think he needed A-Rod to motivate him to come back and have a comeback. But, I mean, it's if it's a good story, A-Rod's talk trash about me, and I'm a cancer in my locker room.
It's the impetus behind his return.
No. He wants to be a good baseball player. I think anybody who's at this level, and more importantly, has had the success that he's had. Let's not forget, when he was with the Rangers, he led the league in strikeouts.
It's filthy.
It was ridiculous.
Filthy when he came over.
When you've been there, you don't want to not be there.
That's a very good point. If it's Alex, now, that doesn't apply to everybody, sadly. Some people start to check out. They get lazy. They put weight on. They got a bank account. They kind of stop pursuing.
Yeah, but let's not forget, he was in the World Series.
No, I'm not saying this applies to him. What I will say directly with you, Yu Darvish, if he needed A-Rod's comments to incentivize him to, then he's probably ready to retire.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're not internally motivated, which I believe he is, then that's a different issue and a different problem. But no, I don't think A-Rod's comments motivated him. I think he's self-motivated. You know, and the other thing too is, you know, just think about the Japanese culture.
Yeah.
I mean, fiercely proud.
Yeah, you don't just lay down the sword.
No way. That is, just doesn't go. I mean, the athletes, they are, he was so good.
He was.
Just don't know what he has left. He's probably not much.
I've been waiting for it to come back. Because I kind of still remember those Ranger days. It was right when we started the show, and it was kind of like, Yu Darvish is the man.
He was unhittable for a couple of years.
He had surgery, Tommy John, and then just kind of working his way slowly. Got Dodgers with the World Series. Like, maybe this is it.
Mm-hmm.
Got destroyed because he was tipping his pitches. I don't know.
Still a bad contract anyway you cut it.
Yeah, you're right.
What did he get? Six? How many years did he get? Did he get seven? He didn't get seven, did he? Mm-hmm. Wow. See you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.